The Rush Hour with Jars and Louie, made in Adelaide for Adelaide.
Righto, Juice, one of our all-time favourites is going to join us right now. He's back on the airwaves tonight too. Fox Sports 503, Inside Cricket, AB, Alan Border, the one and only former captain of the Australian cricket team. He joins us now. AB, welcome to The Rush Hour.
Pleasure.
Looking forward to tonight's TV. Mark Waugh's in the hot seat, I would have thought, with you boys.
I think he's sweating already.
Oh, I like it. You've got to grill him, maybe. Just get into him. Slap him between the ears.
Look, it's it's pretty easy to play the blame game, isn't it? Selectors and management and high performance and the whole lot. I sort of had a good look at it all. And I thought, look, at the end of the day, you know, the players are the ones responsible. They go out and bat and bowl. If we're not picking the right players, okay. But these are the guys who, you know, supposedly 3 months ago were the number one test team in
Correct.
The world. So, you know, the fall from grace has been pretty quick. And, you know, it's probably caught everyone, you know, by surprise, to be brutally honest. And, hopefully we can get the repair job going ASAP.
Well, the article said as much in today's paper here, AB, that don't blame the doctors, the physios, the support staff. They're all the same. Nothing's changed. It's you blokes out in the middle are the ones. Now, from all reports, They're a pretty quiet group, AB. My big one for you at the moment is Steve Smith's not a selector, is he?
No, he's not. But he has got the opportunity to be a selector if he wants to be.
Well, I reckon that is the number one. If I'm Steve Smith, I'm going in there and finally having a say, because not whether he's getting the right teams or not, at least then you have the ability to fight for what you think you need out there. And whether it's Chinese whispers suggesting there's a bit of, you know, fracturing inside of it, or at least He can be comfortable in the knowledge that if they're going to take a punt on anyone or bring someone in, he's actually the one going, yeah, I really like that guy. I want him in, as opposed to go, there you go, mate, do your best with it.
Yeah, well, you can't take pot shots at selectors, really, if you are one of the selection group. You know, exactly. At the moment, Stephen's saying, oh, I'm not necessarily getting the team I want. Well, if that's the case, you know, he's the one in the firing line. He's got to, you know, bite the bullet and say, okay, well, look, I want to be a selector. I want to have a say in, a vote at least in the teams that we're putting out in the park.
AB, we've got to acknowledge Sri Lanka played some terrific cricket over there and knocked us off. And South Africa have been outstanding. Yeah, they've made a commitment as a team. They want to play good pressure, Australian-type cricket. So we've got to acknowledge how good they've been.
Well, that's the other side of the coin too. You know, sometimes, you know, an opposition just don't let you play like you want to play. And that's what South Africa have done. I mean, they've been totally dominant with the ball and made us look, you know, really mediocre in that area. And obviously the batting side of things, they've got a couple of young blokes. I mean, I'm so impressed with that young Quinton de Kock. I think, you know, he looked like he was batting on a different surface compared to everyone else the other day. And, you know, you've got to give credit where credit's due. The South Africans have been brilliant and just made us look poor. That's the bottom line to it.
AB, there's no plan B. Would that be a fair comment? Because these batting collapses, and like you just said, sometimes they don't let you play the way you want to play. So it's all good to have this idea in your head that I'm going to go out and stroke the ball through cover and everything else. But all of a sudden, someone ties you down. It's up to you to change tact as a batsman, isn't it?
The buzzword at the moment is, you know, back yourself and, you know, take the bowlers on, don't let them dominate. You know, I don't know about all that. I just reckon Test match cricket is about playing the conditions and playing the moment, playing the bowler at the time. I mean, sometimes it's totally in your favour of a batsman and you can expand your game accordingly on the surface.
Yeah.
And other times you're facing the same bowling group, but the thing's swinging and seaming around. Well, you can't play the same way that you played the previous day. Test match batting is based around a rock-solid defensive game, and then you can expand from there. I think we're going the other way. We've sort of promoted the, you know, go for your shots type mentality, which is great when conditions are right, but it looks pretty poor when the conditions aren't in your favour, and you may look stupid when you get bowled out for 85. You know, 3 months ago we were great.
Well, number one.
Yeah, we were number one. It's just quite incredible the fall from grace has been so quick.
And AB, that just follow on from that, given the fragility of the mental state of the group because of the batting collapse that we're having, that idea of not grinding or getting out to loose shots is having a massive ripple effect through our not only top order but middle order.
Yeah, they're not confident at all. The South Africans are cock-a-hoop. And playing accordingly. I mean, you know, just the little things, you know, guys getting strangled down leg side and getting the reviews right and all those little things. We've got to reassess a few things. I wouldn't be panicking too much, but maybe, you know, the selectors probably would have had in mind generation next. Well, maybe they've got to be generation now and, you know, bite the bullet and see how they go.
The Pressure Test with Ruan Ditts.
Oh my gosh, I can't even think of the name properly.
Don't let the pressure get to you.
The nerves just, yeah. Oh, it's ridiculous.
$500 is up for grabs. Yeah. Get some easy money.
Oh gee, another 500. Oh, we've given away fabulous.
Weekday mornings at 7 and 8 with The Pressure Test.
Well, here is your money.
Ruan Ditts for breakfast, 104.7 Triple M.
AB, I struggle with this concept. Now, Test cricket's another level mentally and physically. And then we've got Shield cricket. Now, Test cricket's played over 5 days. These days, they're done in three. But we've got Shield cricket that's 4 days. And they all say, go back and play Shield cricket, which is obviously a different level. Why aren't we playing 5 day Shield cricket to prepare our boys for 5 day Test matches? Why? I don't understand that.
I suppose, you know, traditionally it's always been a 4 day game. I think 4 days is probably enough at the first class level.
Righto.
I've got no problems with that. It's more about making sure the standard is good and getting Test players back and playing the odd Shield game. I mean, you know, we talk about workload issues and different things like that. Well, I'd be cutting out a few gym sessions and making them actually play games.
I
sometimes think that maybe there's not enough actual cricket being played to get your fitness and tell your body what you want it to do rather than going to the gym. And look, I'm all for sports science. It's taken all games to new levels. But, you know, cricket is a skills-based game, and that you can't neglect that side of it.
AB, AFL went through a similar stage where the sports scientists, especially when Dimitri was in charge, he said the men in the white coats are taking control and dictating, and they were. And they were dictating how many kicks a guy could have at training, how long a training group could go because of the loads. Now, the great DK came out the other day in relation to Peter Siddle after he broke down again and said Siddle had only bowled 54 overs or somewhere thereabouts in his entirety in his comeback. He said, I would have bowled 54 overs in the lead up to a test
match.
In
a week.
In practice, in training.
And if he's saying that, I mean, look, he's the gospel of fast bowling. Yeah. I mean, it's all right for me to say it. I'm a batsman. But if Dennis Lilley is making those observations. And look, I played a lot with Dennis, and he was phenomenal. He would run in off his long run nearly every practice session. And we'd practice, you know, very hard, just as hard as these guys.
Yeah.
And the bowlers bowled at the batsman, and, you know, the practice sessions work. And we're sort of lively affairs at times.
B, did Dennis hit you in the nets a few times when he was angry?
Yeah, copped a few from the great man, I've got to say. But it was always willing contest, especially, you know, if he was firing up before a big contest.
How were you, AB, when you knew you were next into his net and you knew he was online, didn't try and sneak to another net at all
did
and just change
the Kyle Rackerman's net?
You'd be shuffling into the other net if you could, that was for sure. But unfortunately, you had to face some music every now and then. But, I mean, how good's that?
Yeah.
I mean, is that good preparation or not? So we should be doing a bit more of that.
Beautiful.
So anyway, look, there's you know, lots of things we can discuss, but I don't want to play the blame game too much. You know, the players have got to find a way.
All right, last one on what is happening at the moment. Chairman of Selectors Rod Marsh is obviously going to vacate down the track. There's a bit of talk now that the potential time might be right, given either at the end of the South African series or at least at the end of the summer, that he gets out now. But do we have an incumbent ready to go to take over from Rod? Have they got all that ready as well?
So how do you get someone like a Ricky Ponting, for instance, you know, to give up, you know, fantastic opportunity in coaching area at IPL?
Media.
He does a great job for Channel 10 with the Big Bash. So that takes him out of, you know, cricket watching or, you know, availability for at least, what, 3 or 4 months of the year?
Yep.
And does he want to do it? You know, that's the bottom line. I mean, that's the tough one. I think myself, Rod's, you know, he's probably done the right thing by just giving everyone a bit of a heads up that he wants to finish in June.
Yep.
So then they can, you know, scour the place for a new replacement because, you know, if he was to, say, retire tomorrow... Who have we got? So it's going to be an interesting little period this to see, you know, who gets that role and what, you know, the makeup of the selection panel, et cetera, et cetera. So, it's interesting times.
Hey, AB, just tracking away from cricket there, your footy side, the Collingwood Football Club, geez, they're going well the last couple of years. Maybe Nathan Buckley could be the new replacement for Rod Marsh.
Well, Nathan Buckley, he left the Lions, see, didn't he? So that's he lost me.
Oh. No.
Yeah, he missed out on three premierships too, so never mind. But Collingwood, they're always in the news, aren't they?
They are.
Yeah, for good and bad,
AB. They are.
Oh, they're over in America doing some altitude training. Maybe that'll good. Fix them. That'll fix them.
That'll help kicking goals.
8:30 tonight, Eastern Daylight Time on Fox Sports 503. AB, Brad Haddon, Mark Ward, Brendan Julian, or BJ. They'll be talking to Jeffrey Robert Thompson. Jeez, he'll hold back tonight too, AB.
I'll just let Jeffrey Robert go, I think. He'll come up with some magic, I think.
I think beautiful. So. And, of course, Mark Ward in the hot seat. AB, thank you so much for your time.
Cheers, guys.
Take care, mate.
Alan Border there, former beautiful. Australian cricket captain and superstar.
The Rush Hour with Jars and Louie, made in Adelaide for Adelaide.
Time to talk some footy, family and juice, and the Crows have finalised their coaching structures for 2017. And the great news is a good friend of ours, he's a bike buddy of yours, he's a former teammate of mine, Ryan O'Keefe will step up as the club's Sandville senior coach. Pebbles, welcome to the Rush Hour and congratulations.
Yeah, thanks, guys. No, I really appreciate it and really looking forward to the role.
In the hot seat, mate, calling the shots. Juice and I love that. And I think you got to do that so you can work out whether you can get the job done under the pump, mate.
That's exactly right. When you're in the driver's seat and you got to deal with everything and make the decisions, it's sort of it's good for your development and good to see where you're at in terms of coach. So I think it's important that if you get in charge of your own team that you sort of make the most of it.
Heath Uni laid a very good foundation as the Sandville coach, and obviously he moves into another role at the footy club, which is fantastic for him there, Ryan. What kind of coach are you going to be?
I hopefully I can be a calm and collected sort of coach and go on the experiences that I've had over, being in the industry for nearly 20 years. Yeah. I just want to create an environment and a culture for our players to empower them and drive and learn and get better. And as long as the players become better players and better men, I think I've done my job.
Yep. Rhino, the competition itself in the Sandville, how have you seen it the last few years sitting there as a development coach, but now you're going to be the senior coach? How have you found that SNFL comp?
Oh, look, I think it's been great for our players. If you go over the journey, our win ratio is only 50-50, really. We've only made the finals once, so it's a level of competition that's difficult and it exposes our players, and especially our young guys, when most of our list is under 20 years of age, exposes them to playing against men. So if they have a chance to step up to AFL, they're primed and ready for it.
VB's going to be helping you out as well, Nathan Van Berlo. Great to keep him around the footy club.
Yeah, great. Obviously, a terrific fellow, first and foremost, and his wealth and experience can help develop those players. And he obviously playing last year, majority in the Sandville, he can relate to the guys and relate to the competition and help educate them.
Peb's big Harry Deer. He's my project boy. I've been watching him, Luke. And he looks like if his body can stay sound and get a good crack at it, he might be one that might bob up this coming season.
Oh, yeah, look, he's got the physical attributes. He's a big lad. And he's only going to get bigger and stronger. So I think, once he finds that, that confidence in his ability and his physical attributes, I think he could be anything.
Rhino, fingers crossed, we get our first father-son, Benjamin. How are you going to deal with young Benjamin when he swaggers into the change rooms and just demands number two?
What's his nickname again, Jas, for Pebbles?
Tickets.
Tickets is his nickname, yep. Pebbs.
I think I don't think I have to do too much. I think the players will sort that situation out.
That's fair.
Generally, you come into a club, you get worked out pretty quickly.
Oh, I like it. That's Uncle Gift too, talking, by the way, too. Calls himself the Gift.
Stop it.
Hey, Pebbs, let's talk about where you and Jas last crossed paths, and that was from Adelaide to Melbourne via the bike. You love your cycling, well known for it, very good at it. How did the big juice go? I'd never got much intel on the trip. All I heard was he teamed up with a bloke called the Chemist, Elmsy, and was in the back of the van from time to time.
No, mate. Jas, he powered through the whole day. Oh, 6 days and got there, mate. It was remarkable and quite inspirational to a lot of our fellow riders.
He's got a big heart.
Now, do we want to give Rhino some advice about the coach's box, Luke?
Sure.
Because you were there. You got sacked. I got sacked.
Yeah. Look, parting a company on equal terms, I would have thought. That's how it played out. Okay. Now, Pebs, number one, a couple of things I've worked out from my short stint in the box was don't put your foot through the coach's box because you've got to pay for it to get fixed, all right? Second one, if there's any, persons of interest, say, like a Mayor of Elizabeth or someone like that, don't engage in a conversation with them while the game's on. And the other one being, I would just say, be yourself, mate, and if you're going to let fly, let fly properly.
Yeah, go for it. And, mate, don't just coach yourself in the back of a ute, all right, mate? I did that in Perth, Rhino. It didn't go down well.
And, Rhino, don't light any candles in the coach's box.
You'll blow your jacket up. All right, mate. All right. Good luck,
that's
buddy.
That's sound advice. I think I'll take up that all.
Well done.
So, mate, we'll report back in after maybe a month just to see how it's tracking.
Yeah.
We might just get some feedback from a few of the boys how you're travelling, all right?
No worries.
Good man.
Sounds good.
Well done. Well
good
deserved.
Good luck, mate. Good luck and enjoy.
Yeah, cheers, guys. Thanks very much.
Ryan O'Keefe there, the Adelaide Crows' new Sanford senior coach.
Is he on our, one of ours now in the coaching fraternity?
You two have got a connection.
Yeah, we have.
No, he's not one of ours until he gets the arse.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
He's one of ours.
That's true.
And let's hope that don't happen. Thanks, Pebs. Ta.
104.7 Triple M is Ruin Ditch for breakfast.
Get the shirt off this afternoon, Ditch, you reckon? Get out there and do a bit of exercise.
I don't want to scare people.
No, no.
And the 6 till 6 no repeat work day.
It ain't me. Well, somebody told me.
Workplace Soundtrack is 104.7 Triple M.
Hey, Drew, time to catch up now with a really good friend of ours who's done amazing things for the Little Heroes Foundation. She's run the New York Marathon. Her name is Rosanna Mangiarelli. Mang, welcome to the Rush Hour. And it's a big Rush Hour. Congratulations to you, Sue.
Thank you so much, boys. I haven't wiped a smile off my face since. It's been over a week now, but it's just sinking in. So bragging rights are just starting to settle in. It was truly amazing.
Now, Mang, you're an enormous effort because you're back on air too. Most people, most pundits, including us, would have had you laying low for a week or two after running 42K. But how has the body and the mind recovered?
Look, the mind probably recovered quicker than the body. I was sporting a few injuries going into the run. So I'm hobbling still, and I'm in a fair bit of pain, still on anti-inflammatories, but I'm smiling my way through it, or trying to anyway.
Rosanna, how much training did you do to prepare for your first ever marathon?
Oh, I did. So I had been running like last year, just on Sundays, just a casual run with a bunch of school mums. And it was more, you know, a bit of fun and short distances. And we'd go for coffee afterwards, which would take longer than the run.
Yeah.
Pardon me. But then I started training properly probably about 18 weeks beforehand.
Yeah.
And pardon me, built up
from there. What was your greatest distance there, man? What did you run the furthest in training?
30. In training. Jesus. So that was at 4 a.m. on a 3 weeks before the marathon, set out at exactly 4 a.m. from my house through up to Anzac Highway, returned and had a shower, jumped on a plane and went to a wedding in Sydney with high heels on for the rest of the night.
No way.
Dancing. Oh, I know. It was just crazy. And it was really taxing. But the thing is, I just didn't want it to disrupt my family, my husband, you know, so I did everything sort of 5 o'clock in the morning, 4 o'clock in the morning.
Rosanna, have we locked in another one?
Never again.
Hey, come on.
Never. I would never, ever, ever do that kind
of
distance again.
You've
Look,
done it.
It was incredible. I seriously smiled the entire way. I thought my cheeks were going to fall off because I was smiling so much. Yeah. I was high-fiving people. I was dancing my way through it. I was, you know, woohooing the entire time. It got to about 39 Ks where I entered some sort of hell on earth, state of delirium.
The
I cannot.
Yeah.
You
found a big black bear jumped
you. The wall at 39 Ks. What was it like?
I just didn't, it was this state of delirium. I didn't know who I was. I didn't know what I was doing. I was in an awful amount of pain. And I saw this woman on Fifth Avenue with a sign that said, you can and you will.
You can and you will.
So I started chanting that out loud picking up runners by my side and just, you know, went for gold.
No, good on you. I just wanted to touch base. I said to Jars and everyone else, it's great when people who aren't athletes do these types of things. It's always intriguing to find out what the mindset was like and that moment of the wall, because I'm still a virgin when it comes to marathons, Mang. And that one thing I'd like to know, I don't want to do all the training, but I'd love to know what the wall feels like. And you just described it.
Look, I had, I also had pre-recorded messages of support from my family and friends.
Yep.
And that really helped. Like I had my, you know, not yet 3-year-old son, you know, just, it was just amazing. So that helped me a little bit. I played Lose Yourself by Eminem about 8 times.
Yeah, good.
And that got me across the line. Yeah. And also this, just just little mantras, like, you know, my 5-year-old, well, she's not even 5 yet, but she always says, I'm strong, I can do it. Yeah. So I had that little mantra, and then I picked up the you can and you will and just went with that for the last 3Ks, and also hooked up with some 60-year-old runner from Italy.
Beautiful.
Who it was his first marathon as well, and we just talked each other through, you know, that last few miles. Yeah, it's amazing.
On tonight, 6:30, the number one show in Adelaide. Today, tonight, who are we watching tonight, Rosanna?
Oh, we've got a mixed bag tonight. So, credit cards, just some shock realisations about how bad Aussies are with credit cards.
Oh, dear.
Also, just about who really controls South Australia, just a little look at unions and the power they have. And also some of the best suburbs in Adelaide, like the new hipster suburbs, great
Henley Beach.
Bargains for new home buyers. No. I don't know about Henley Beach. I mean, that is amazing. But
hey, Rosanna, tell me there's no foul-mouthed shock jocks on tonight.
Oh, no. At least Rosanna was there for me.
Oh, I'll leave you to the radio for tonight, Jars, and I know you'll behave yourself from now on.
Oh, Rosanna, thank you so much. Thanks for sharing your story, and well done again.
Job.
Great effort.
Thanks. Thanks, guys. It was great.
Channel 7's very own Rosanna Mangiarelli.
The Pressure Test with Ruan Ditts.
Oh, my gosh. I can't even think of the name properly.
Don't let the pressure get to you.
The nerves just... Yeah. Oh, it's ridiculous.
$500 is up for grabs.
Yeah.
Get some easy money.
Oh, gee, another $500. We've given away
fabulous.
Weekday mornings at 7 and 8 with The Pressure Test.
Well, here is your money.
Ruan Ditts for breakfast, 104.7 Triple M.
The question being asked right now, need to get everybody involved. In the same vein as we did with Jars and Jordan, the great Michael Jordan, what do you think they have in common? These two great men, and I stress great men, our very own Andrew Juice Newton, Black Rhino Jarman, and the president-elect, Donald, you know what, Trump. All right, what have they got in common? Play the game. You'll be surprised when I reveal it all. Hopefully somebody guesses it, but the billionaire and the boy from where?
Holden Hill.
Holden Hill. They've got something in common. Guess away now. 133353. Jump on Twitter as well. I'll go to Twitter straight off.
Right.
Ryan Fry, shocking haircuts.
I think I know Ryan. I think I know young Ryan.
Padman. Yeah, I like this Padman. Yeah. They back out on promises. Hashtag roast. Hashtag push-ups. Hashtag swim the torrents.
He's a good man, Padman.
All right, we've got a quick call on the line. Let's kick it off, Juice.
Matty of Adelaide. G'day, Matty.
G'day, guys.
Matty, has it a guess at what Trump and Juice have got in common?
I reckon they could both walk into the front reception at the Crows and not get recognised.
Oh, die. Matty, die.
Oh, it's a nice try, Matty, but it's not
again.
Quite right. All right, but
right.
Thank you. That's where we're going. All right, 133353, get involved, family. The president-elect Donald Trump and the great man himself. Yeah, South Australia's finest, best ever, second best gentleman. Have got something in common. I want you to try and guess it. Oh, it's good.
Come on, wait, Luke.
To hear. It's great. I mean, it's you know, you're always seeing those lists, five things that the powerful do, the rich and famous do. Well, one of these, Donald does, and Jars does the same. Right now, we're trying to find out what Jars, our very own living legend, and he and Donald Trump, president-elect, what have they got in common? Remember, it's in the vein of Jordan and Jarman. What do they have in common? A lot of people went to the town on you on that one, Juice. Yeah, well, in fact, try and guess what Donald Trump and the Juice have in common. I'm going to Twitter first, Nick Kelly. On. Donald and Jars laugh at their own gags. That's a good call, Nick, but it's not what we're talking about. Mm. And Jason Wren, did Trump miss a goal 20 metres out to seal a prelim too?
Oh,
Hashtag 93 prelim. All right, let's get to the family on the phones. 133353, get involved.
Jason of Blakeview. G'day, Jace.
How you going, mate?
Righto, Jason. I know it's a bit random, but what have Trump and the Juice got in common?
I said I've got hundreds, but yeah. Actually, I had to listen to that song, Starman. Do you remember that? Mm. There's a Starman, there's a German, but Aaron's better. So I had to listen to that. But yeah, they both think they're leaders and they're not.
And they're not.
Cold hard.
Nah. Fair call, Jace.
Softened him up nicely too, Jace,
mate.
With the Jarman gag.
Yeah.
I liked it.
Yeah. Trying to be a comedian. Craig of Craigburn Farm.
Hello,
hey,
Craig.
There you go. How you doing, boys?
What's your guess, mate, for the juice?
well, you know, astrologers seem to say there's a lot to do with the day you're born and the date you're born. You know, obviously, has a lot to do with people's character. Well, the boys are both born on the 14th day of their month.
Jeez.
Are we really?
You're a spiritual man.
Have a look at you. Get your chest out, you peacock.
Well, I'm 14th of Jan.
Yeah.
66.
He's the 14th of
Jan. Nowhere near. Oh, Jesus. Well, I'm a Capricorn. Yeah. And a very...
And he's a Gemini, which means he's got two personalities, which is the first one was on the campaign trail, and now the softer side we're seeing now.
We are seeing the softer side. What are Capricorns and what was he again?
Gemini.
What are they like together?
Oh, I'd hazard a guess as how I don't give a rat's ass because I don't care about astrology.
Well, I do. I like the stars. Rick of Richhaven. G'day, Rick.
How you going, brothers?
Rick, guess for me.
Oh,
guess.
No, here we go.
I reckon the toupee, mate. You're both bald.
Honestly.
Oh, I'd love to see you rock
O'Donnell. He's not bald. He's not bald.
I'd love to see you rock O'Donnell.
He's not?
He's not. It's his real hair. He pulled it out.
It's legit. Fair enough.
They messed it up on one of the Tonight Shows.
All right, Rick. What's Padman saying again?
Padman's come back again. Both have had major wins due to other stuff-ups. Hillary emails and Jarvis McGarry wins due to massive
suspension. Off, Paddy. What's Mickey Owen saying?
Martin Hunkin says both promise the world on Deliver an Atlas.
Oh, come on.
Iron Bank Thunder.
Oh, hang on.
Mickey Owens, is it that they are both batting out of their league or that they both... have a more popular brother.
Oh, Mick. Stevie of Happy Valley. G'day, Steve.
How you going, guys?
Okay, have a guess for us, Steve.
Mate, I reckon they've both used or heard the words, you're fired. without sounding too cruel to the gentleman.
Yeah. No, that's all right.
Yeah, no, look.
I was fired back in 96 by Bloody.
Yeah, they've both hit rock bottom a couple of times, but nah, that's not it either. Good guess.
So what is it, Luke?
Keep going, Steve.
Clearly, it's not the hair, mate.
Nah, it's not the hair. It's not conditioned. Jarvis doesn't often wear a navy suit with a red tie, so it's not a power trip.
What is Daniel Joy saying?
Danny Joy's come back. Both Jarvis and Trump work with knobs.
Yeah,
it's not correct.
Oh, I love it!
It's not correct. We're going to bring it back a little later on. Keep them coming through on Twitter. Also, 133353. What are the juice and the Donald have in common?
The Rush Hour with Jarz and Louie, made in Adelaide for Adelaide.
Oh, well done.
Missed anything?
Check out the podcast now at triplem.com.au.